From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series on the lives and the ministries of the Apostles of Christ. The message today continues to focus on the Apostle Peter. Before we hear from Dr. Cairns, we invite you to enjoy a brief devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening, a collection by C.H. Spurgeon.
Today's text comes from Genesis chapter 25 and verse 11. Isaac dwelt by the well Lahai Roi. Hagar had once found deliverance there, and Ishmael had drunk from the water so graciously revealed by the God who liveth and seeth the sons of men. But this was merely casual visit, such as worldlings pay to the Lord in times of need when it serves their turn. They cry to him in trouble, but forsake him in prosperity. Isaac dwelt there, and made the well of the living and all-seeing God his constant source of supply. The usual tenor of a man's life, the dwelling of his soul, is the true test of his state. Perhaps the providential visitation experienced by Hagar struck Isaac's mind and led him to revere the place. Its mystical name endeared it to him. His frequent musings by its brim at eventide made him familiar with the well. His meeting Rebecca there had made his spirit feel at home near the spot. But best of all, the fact that he there enjoyed fellowship with a living God had made him select that hallowed ground for his dwelling. Let us learn to live in the presence of the living God. Let us pray the Holy Spirit that this day and every other day we may feel, Thou, God, seest me. May the Lord Jehovah be as a well to us, delightful, comforting, unfailing, springing up unto eternal life. The bottle of the creature cracks and dries up, but the well of the Creator never fails. Happy is he who dwells at the well, and has so abundant and constant supplies near at hand. The Lord has been a sure helper to others. His name is Shaddai, God all-sufficient. Our hearts have often had most delightful intercourse with him. Through him our soul has found her glorious husband, the Lord Jesus, and in him this day we live and move and have our being. Let us then dwell in closest fellowship with him. Glorious Lord, constrain us that we may never leave thee, but dwell by the well of the living God.
Fears are far too much.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions, such as, why did Christ have to be born a man? Why does God allow suffering? What is the unpardonable sin? And what's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such questions. All of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. But we're also pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 20th century Christian. You may have a copy of the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies on the lives of the apostles. In the course of the messages, he's presenting a biographical sketch of each apostle. Dr. Cairns began these portraits of the apostles with the man who is regarded as their chief spokesman, Simon Peter. In this first of two messages, the focus is on Peter's character. Peter, first of all, was a patient and a consistent man. Then he was also a man of great heart. At times he was impetuous, acting or speaking before he thought, yet he was a man who loved Christ with all his heart. In addition, this bold and rugged fisherman was a humble man. He was quick to acknowledge his faults and to repent of them. The gospel records also show that Peter was a man of action and great zeal in the cause of Christ. He was a natural leader. Now with the next portion of this message called The Character of Peter, here is Dr. Cairns.
Again, in that 21st chapter, in verse 15, 16, and 17, the three times, Peter could look the Son of God in the face and answer the question, "Lovest thou me?" And Peter could say, "Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Remember, this is the Christ who a little later from the throne of heaven would send the seven epistles through John to the churches in Asia. Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And in every case he would say, I know thy works. Do you remember at the church of Ephesus? There was this letter from Christ through John. Thou hast left thy first love. Christ knows your works and mine. Now let me ask you, who among us tonight can look the Son of God squarely in the face and say, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. My religion is not just a religion of the head. My religion is not just some intellectual game. My religion is no mere mechanical show that's put on to fool people. Mine is a religion of the heart. Peter was a man with a great heart for Christ. If we can learn anything from this first of the apostles, it is so to gaze upon Christ, that our hearts are so committed to Christ that we love him. Let me ask you tonight, do you love the Lord? Is it a heart engagement you have with the Lord? This is an important question. Because listen, if any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says, let him be anathema. God's curse is on the heart that does not love Christ. A man of great heart. Third thing about Peter. He was a humble man. Now, Peter was first. I may have something more to say about this in a later study. I realize this has become contentious. The Church of Rome has made him the first pope. Well, he was not the first pope. He was no pope at all. There are certain places where you can say, no pope here. One is in the Bible. And the others in heaven. Well, there was no pope here, but he was the first. There was a certain primacy. And Peter had it, and he knew it. Now, he was only a man. And Peter was not free from feelings of pride. And not only that, he wasn't even free from feelings of jealousy. The disciples had an argument one day as to who would be the greatest. Remember, the Lord came and set a little child before them. But they were arguing. Peter was among them. And then you remember in John 21 when the Lord spoke to him about feeding his sheep. He then turned and he looked at John. And you can see the jealousy in Peter here. Lord, what shall this man do? And the Lord very politely told him to mind his own business and go on and do his own work for God. So he wasn't free from these things, but at heart, at the bottom of it all, Peter was a meek and a humble man. Let me give you a couple of examples. You take the Gospel of Mark. Now, it's generally believed, and I think it's truly believed, that Mark is really the Gospel according to Peter. Mark is the one that Peter calls his son. Right from the very first century, dating from the very days of the apostles, the church has had the historical record that Mark was the interpreter, the writer of Peter's gospel. Now, if that's so, and I believe it is, it's interesting when you turn to the Gospel of Mark, all Peter's faults are magnified, and his good is dismissed very quickly. His weakness is dwelt upon, and his greatness is made light of. And there you've got the heart of a great man. There's so many people going around nowadays having to prove how great they are. I remember traveling in an airplane with Dr. Bob Jones, Jr., and we were talking about a certain preacher. And I didn't think this preacher's style would have appealed to the poet and the scholar and the literary man in Bob Jones. And so I was rather shocked when he mentioned this man and said, you know, he's a great preacher. I thought to myself, well, there's no accounting for taste. And he kept a straight face. He said, he really is a great preacher. He said, he told me so. A lot of people like that. That was not Peter. Let me give you another example. In Galatians chapter 2, you read that Paul rebuked Peter to the face, and this was in public. Now, Peter needed it. We'll come to this in due course as to the details of it. Peter needed to be rebuked. But nonetheless, here was the first of the apostles. Here was the great preacher of the day of Pentecost. Here was the recognized leader of the apostolic band, a preacher, an evangelist, a missionary, a church planter without parallel among the 12. And there's this new apostle, this much younger apostle, and he is standing up to Peter. He is exposing his sin and he's condemning his sin, and that in public. And I want to tell you something. It takes a great man to take that. And I think what is generally overlooked is that Peter did take it humbly and sincerely. And without a trace of abiding bitterness against the man who openly upbraided him. A humble man. Now put it all together. A consistent man with patience. A man with a great heart. And yet a man who was intensely humble. And you'll see that this is the man who went into action. He was a man of great zeal and activity. Now, there's numerous examples of that. I'm not going to go into them all. But as soon as he met with Christ, Peter didn't. Now, he counted the cost, no doubt. I mean, Jesus taught them you had to count the cost. But I think Peter had already counted the cost that day the Lord Jesus came and said, "Follow me." When Andrew had said to him, "Peter, come on, we have found the Christ." As soon as Peter met him, that was it for Peter. He was willing to lose home. He was willing to lose reputation. He was willing to lose his fortune. He was willing to lose his life. And in the days intervening between that first introduction and that wonderful moment when the Lord Jesus said, "Peter, leave your nets, come and follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men." In that intervening period, Peter had counted the cost. And as soon as he heard the call of Christ, he left everything. A man of action and a man of zeal. You remember that day when the Lord Jesus came walking in the water? So many preachers criticized Peter's little faith because he began to sink. Bunch of hypocrites. I have never met one preacher yet who would have been anywhere else but in the boat with the other 11. There was only one man who stepped over the side of the boat, and you can criticize him all you like for beginning to lose faith when he was walking on the boisterous water. But remember, he was the one who stepped over the side, and the Bible says he actually walked in the water. Great zeal. In the garden of Gethsemane, having misunderstood a statement of the Lord Jesus Christ a little earlier, he had his sword with him. And along comes Malchus, Not just a servant, but the Greek text says the servant of the high priest. Probably the rogue who was leading the whole band of rogues. Along with Judas Iscariot. They're armed to the teeth. They're ready for a rough and tumble time to lay hold of Jesus Christ. And Peter's out there as a one-man protection agency. He's ready to do battle, no matter what it costs him. And he cuts off Malchus's ear. Zeal and action. Remember when John and Peter ran to the sepulchre? John was younger. Peter was a wee bit like some of us, and he maybe, for obvious reasons, couldn't run as fast as he used to run. And so he brought up the rear. John stood timidly on the outside of the sepulchre. Peter ran right in to see that Christ was risen. In the work of the New Testament church, it was Peter who took the lead. Paul calls him in Galatians 2 a pillar of the church. Now, I'm saying all this to make the point. And this is what I want us to get tonight. Because we're not doing these studies for the sake of a little bit of historical knowledge. But it's with the prayer, Lord, make me everything that I see in this man that pleases God. Peter knew nothing of a religion that allowed him to do nothing. Think of that. Peter knew nothing of a religion that would let him sit back and do nothing. We're living in a day when there are more books written about every subject concerned with Christianity under the sun. More books being written, more seminars being held, more teaching units being promoted. More methods, but less actual Christian endeavor. There are people who have degrees in how to do everything under the sun, but they're doing nothing. Peter never had that kind of a religion. He couldn't have. He had met with Christ, and he had to do something for Christ. When you turn to Peter's epistles, for instance, you'll see how this comes through. I'm not going to try and expound those epistles tonight, obviously, but this is the kind of thing he says to the new Christians. Be diligent. Don't be a loafer. Don't be a talker. Don't be a backroom critic of other people who are doing something. Man, the church is full of those people. They never get off the seat themselves, but they're ready to jump all over people who do get up and try to do something. And then these critics say, well, they haven't done it right. Well, it'd be far better to try and do it wrong than do what you're doing, which is sweet nothing. Be diligent. Now, I'm not apologizing for people doing things wrong. I'm simply saying we're human, and there's none of us gets it right all the time. I'm appealing to you to start to do something. I quoted to you a few weeks back the words of the great Swiss reformer Ulrich Zwingli. His motto, his constant theme to the people of Zurich was, for God's sake, do something great. Do something great. For the Lord's own sake. Oh, that we would get that. Be diligent. He says to these new Christians, grow in grace. Grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Add to your faith. Live as obedient children. Be holy even as your God is holy. Arm yourselves for the battle against sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. In other words, an active Christianity.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.